life's burdens get so heavy, and it seems I'm all alone. I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to his throne. I find his grace sufficient when his promises I heed. For his very life he sacrificed, and he lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when he speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of his wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I will seek for souls in darkness, Calvary's love with them to share. Empowered by his Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whatever befall me, my Lord is in control. And as my mind is stayed on him, perfect peace he gives my soul. He is the Lord of lords, and when he speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of his wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I'm at rest in perfect peace.
So wonderful to rest in our Savior's care. Ephesians chapter number 4, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're back to the text that we read this morning. We'll quickly review and then jump in to where we are today. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We began this morning in the 8:45 service, just walking through this idea of the theme. And so the 3 points that we talked about, I've already said this morning, are pretty easy. They're right behind you here, all right? Come, grow, and serve. And we looked to the idea of come from Scripture, just kind of surveyed some times that the word is used. Sometimes it was a command. Other times it was about continuing a relationship or starting one. Other times it was a voluntary idea. You can come. God's not going to make you do some of those things. The point was basically that we needed to make coming to the local church a priority. It indicates a direction in our life, where we're headed and what we're doing. It talks about future things, as the Lord will come again someday. And then we ended that particular point with that it should drive us, compel them to come in, to necessitate or to drive or constrain them to do that which we're passionate about. And then we just opened with the idea of grow. How are we growing in the Lord? And we talked about truth facilitates growth. And we worked to this verse in verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, Dale came to me after the service and asked me a couple of questions about this idea of may. He says, Does may mean that we have the ability to do it as well as the opportunity to do it, basically? And yes, it's all encompassed in that. Matter of fact, in the original language of the Word of God, it's in a subjunctive mood. It's a mood of possibility. And it has the idea of doing it for yourself. There's going to be great benefits in you if you grow in the truth of God's Word. We talked a little bit about Colossians 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. To be established, to be built upon. Not to just focus on the external, but to focus on the roots that make up what really is a healthy growing process. So that was the first thing under the idea of growth. Number two, God's Word is truth. Now, we've already talked a little bit about that. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Again, there's that idea of may grow. Again, it's in the subjunctive mood, the mood of possibility. If you will apply the truth of God's Word, then you can grow in it. Now, the word grow means to cause to grow, or that inward Christian growth that happens as we stay in the Word of God. And part of the things that God does in the local church is He provides us with opportunities to get truth expounded to us or taught to us or whatever. And by that, we're going to grow. And we've said before, and it's certainly true, this should not be the only food that you get every week. But it also shouldn't be that you don't get this food every week. It's something that God has intended for us to be there. God also does not intend us to stay on milk. He says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to him that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." In other words, God's saying the truth that you learn, whether personally or in a public setting like this, has to be used. If you don't use it, you lose it. Now, you've heard that statement probably in the realm of muscles. Don't use it and you're going to lose it. In other words, whatever muscles you may or may not have had at one point in your life, whatever those are, if you don't use them, then you're going to lose them. The same is true in the Word of God. You can learn a truth from God's Word, but if you don't use that truth in your life, a part of that using is to discern both good and evil, using truth to make it the standard by which you judge things. And God says, you're going to become just used to milk. You're not going to really be able to handle the meat of the Word of God. You're not going to be able to exercise yourself. Now, for most of us in this room, there may be a couple of really weirdos. You might be one, Jeremiah. But for a couple of people, most of us hate exercise. I mean, it's not like we wake up in the morning and go, oh, yes, it's a new day and I get to exercise. Most of us don't think that way. Most of us think, well, I'll tell you how I think. I promised the Lord that I would exercise today, so I've got to do it. Therefore, let's go walking or whatever it may be, right? It's not like, you know, I mean, why would you walk around the block otherwise? I know what's around my block. I know every speck on my road. I know where someone spray painted something on the road that's not supposed to be there. Why would I do that every day? Well, because it's good for me to exercise. And I understand that. But most of us don't like it. Now, here's the deal. It takes work to exercise. You got to make all kinds of conscious choices to do it. It's the same way with our spiritual life. It takes conscious choices for us to use truth. Truth that maybe you learned when you were a kid. You ever had a truth that you knew and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit applied it to your life and you're like, how come I didn't think of it that way? I've only known that for 25 years. Why am I just now getting around to thinking about that way or whatever it be? The Holy Spirit of God applied it to your heart. God's Word, I love this, has the ability to provide milk for babes and meat for strong people. All at the same time. It's great. Someone gave my wife a gift card to Longhorn Steakhouse for her birthday. Well, around her birthday, we were all about half dead. So going to Longhorn was not a good thing at that point, you know. And she said, when we get completely well, we're going to go enjoy this. So we did yesterday. It was great. Big thick steak with nice bone on it, and I mean, it was like, listen, I don't go to Longhorn to order a glass of milk. That ain't happening. Like, well, a glass of milk maybe $2 and that steak's $20. It is well worth the $20, I can tell you. Of course, someone gave her a gift card, you know. I did pay for my steak. The gift card paid for her steak, which was nice. But nevertheless, I'm just saying, sometimes you just want that, right? The same is true in God's Word. Sometimes we need the meat of the Word of God. One of the ways that God's Word is being faithful to you is when you apply yourself by being here and listening to the truth of God's Word. I'm not saying that because I'm preaching it. I'm saying it because it's this book. We need this book desperately. How do you make God's Word a priority in your life? Have you committed to being in God's Word every day this year? I hope you have. You need it. I don't care how long you've been in it. I don't care how much you think you know it. You need God's Word. I'm reading the Minor Prophets right now. I've been reading them for months. I try to take a passage and read it 30 times. And I'm in Zechariah right now. And honestly, the first time I read through the part that I'm reading through, I'm like, Lord, if I get 30 days worth of truth, because I try to get a principle every day out of my devotions that I can kind of hang my hat on, and I'm like, well, this one's going to be tough. I mean, I'm not real sure what's going to help me today, that there is a grizzled color horse and a red horse standing among myrtle trees. I'm just sorry. I like to apply it, but it's like, I'm not sure how that's going to help me today. I shouldn't have myrtle trees in my yard. I shouldn't own a horse. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure we are, but I'm like, but you know what's been amazing? I'm in it every day, and every day the Holy Spirit says, oh, right there. That's the truth. And I'm like, how did I miss that? Friday, for instance, just the end of one of the chapters, a verse jumped off the page, and it says, let all the earth be silent before him. And I thought, oh, wow. Do you know what silence makes most of us do? We get fidgety. It's like, man, what? Just try. Just sit in a chair and don't think anything or say anything and see what happens. It's amazing. But if God wants me to be silent before Him, I really need to work at that. That's a wonderful truth. What I'm saying is God's Word does have things that we need every day in our hearts and lives. The third thing we can see is we can grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing means I increase in knowledge. But get this, grace means I know how to apply that knowledge to my life and other lives. So many people think that grace is a license for me to do whatever I want to do. Grace just means I understand what God's done for me and I know how to apply the truth that He's given me to everyday life. And sometimes I don't like its application. I don't like what it does. I don't like that it dealt with that area right there and it put a finger on it. It's like, oh. But that's what grace does. And we got to have the knowledge of God so that the grace of God can work in that. But grow in grace and knowledge. By the way, this is a command. God's telling you to grow in grace. So the flip side of that is, if I'm not growing in grace and knowledge, what does that mean? It's pretty simple. I'm sinning. And I go, whoa, hey, that's what it means. If God told me to do it and I'm not doing it, that means I'm sinning by not doing it. The spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace, someone has said. That's a wonderful truth. If we're going to be right with God, then we must grow. Are you learning more about God? Are you being governed by the grace of God as you grow in that knowledge of God? Isn't it interesting? How many of you men work in some kind of factory type of place? You work in some kind of factory, right? Several of you, right? Those of you that do, doesn't your employer want you to continue to learn about various machines and parts and so forth? Brother Kevin drives a truck, Brother Bob drives a truck and so forth. There's laws and there's mechanisms and there's all kinds of stuff. Most jobs, we could just go around the room, most jobs want you to continue to learn. Right, and what if Brother Bob was still doing construction like he did when he was 20, which has been a few years ago, almost 40. Just go ahead with the message, okay? Now, the truth is, the tools today are different than they were 40 years ago. And in some cases, making the job a whole lot easier to do. Right? But what if you weren't growing in those things? The same is true in our Christian life. We need to grow. Are you learning more about God? And are you being governed by the grace as you grow? Number four about growth is genuine growth comes from God. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 and following, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Colossians 3 and verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. We have to recognize that we can do everything that we should to reach other people in the city of Kings Mountain, and we still may not have the fruit that we want. Sometimes it works that way. I can take you to ministries where they've been just as faithful for the last 35 years and they have a church of 30. And other men have been just as faithful for 35 years and they have 25 churches and a Bible college and a camp and all that kind of stuff. Well, God over there must have been a lot more faithful. Not necessarily. It's God that gives the increase. And we're okay with that. If we've done all that we can, then we can rest in God's plan. But here's my concern. Sometimes I'm afraid that we've blamed God for our lack of growth. And the truth is, we've just not done what we should do. Maybe we needed to do a little bit more fertilizing. Maybe we need to put out a little more seed. Maybe we needed to dig around the tree and put the rich nutrition and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, maybe the tree won't grow, but don't blame God for our lack of doing or for our laziness. We have to be careful with that. Now, we're not going to work and then demand that God do what His will. We want to trust Him to do whatever. But we got to be careful that we're not lazy. Genuine growth, both corporately and personally, takes work on my part, and then we let God do His. In other words, I want to do everything I can. And if I do everything I can before God, my conscience is clear. Now, you know what? I can't make people talk to me about the gospel. Dale and I knocked on, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 doors the other night. Really didn't get to talk to anybody. We got a couple of brief conversations. One lady said, I'm not interested, and so forth. But you know what? I can't control that. I can't make them stand there and talk to me, but I can be faithful to go knock on their door. I can leave a track on a door that doesn't even answer the door and hope that somebody gets it and hope the Word of God does exactly what God said it would do, that it will not return void. That's my part. I'm going to trust God to do His part. You know what's interesting? The section we were on the other day, and by the way, Jason and Brother Phil were out, and you probably covered, what, 9 or 10 houses too, somewhere in that neighborhood? or was it a long stretch we were on? But it's interesting, they're right on my way home. And so I thought about those houses a lot as I passed by them. Lord, I hope your word impacts those hearts. I can do what I can do. You can do what you can do. We're going to trust God to do the rest. But we got to do what we can do. Are you doing all that you can do to both reach others and to grow yourself? Are you growing? Remember we said before that when you're alive, the natural byproduct will be growth. Have you seen some of the spring popping out already around here? There's a few of these pink trees that already got flowers all over them. I'm like, we were 2 weeks late on fall, which means some of the fall didn't actually happen until the middle of November, and we've already got spring happening. I'm like, that means we had about 6 or 7 weeks of winter, if you can call it that, right? It's already popping out. I looked at my back rose bush, little bitty buds all over it. And I'm like, you know. But guess what that tells me? It's alive. It's alive. Because that's what happens. When something's alive, growth is going to happen. Come. We need to be here. We want to encourage others to come. Grow. Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Truth will help you grow. You get into the Word of God. Number three, serve. And my thought with serving is here and there. In other words, do we serve now where God has placed us, or do we wait until our quote-unquote official ministry? I realize not a lot of our college kids are back yet, okay? But hopefully maybe some of them will listen to this. I just want to encourage you young people that are in college preparing for the ministry. If you have the mentality that my ministry is somewhere down the road, listen to me, you're likely to never have a ministry somewhere down the road. God wants to use you right here, right now. And if you're not willing to do that now, why should he trust you with greater things? I remember a number of years ago, we had a college guy come. This is probably, I'm going to guess, 15, 18 years ago. And he came to me and said, okay, I'm visiting a couple of churches, and if I go to this church, they're going to let me be children's church director. And if I go to this church, and I forget what else they were going to offer him, and he said, what will you offer for me if I come to Emmanuel? I don't know the old-timers in here remember this, but at that time, we were signing up for weekly cleaning of the church. We had lists on the back door and whatever. I said, there's 3 or 4 sign-up sheets in the back there of cleaning the church. We'd love for you to fill those up. He wasn't interested and didn't choose our church. The Bible makes it clear that if Jesus can wash feet, you're not too good to wash feet. That's what serving is about. That's the idea behind the serving. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Isn't it interesting that many of the Bible authors, when they refer to themselves, refer to themselves as servants? The servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know who Paul was? I mean, when you look at Paul's accolades, there's a lot Paul could have said about himself. He could have started out most books with, I've got this many degrees behind my name. He could have started out most books of Paul, the one who spent more time in jail than most of you other Christians. Paul, who started X number of church. Paul, who's wrote 16 or 17 books of the Bible. Paul, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, the brother of Jesus. No, the servant of Jesus Christ. That's the way he introduces himself. Someone said this to me years ago, and it's just, man, rung with me. My wife reminded me about it the last couple of weeks as we were talking about this message. They said, you can always tell if you're a servant if you act like one when you're treated like one. In other words, when someone treats you as a servant, are you okay with them treating you as a servant? Or do you think you deserve something better? Let's look at a couple of things about servanthood from the Word of God. Number one, serving is to be singular. In other words, it's not to be divided. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 23, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." This is not a divided issue. In other words, we must determine who is in control of our lives. Does God get to tell me what to do? Now, for most of us in this room this morning, if I ask you that question point blank, you would say, oh, of course God gets to tell me what to do. Does he really? Does he really? It's interesting. My wife and I talk quite a bit, and one of the things that God is doing in her life this year specifically already that she shared with me is God has taken the simple verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path." So God has just made it clear to her, I just want you to acknowledge me. And so in all kinds of ways, God has just said, are you going to acknowledge me, or are you going to do it yourself? And it's been so neat what God is teaching her. Just all kinds of things. The other day she said, well, I think I'll do this first and this second. And then it was like the Holy Spirit said, are you sure? Right, Lord, what do you want me to do it that way, or do you have another order? See, that's ordering your life according to what God wants. Not according to what I want, but according to what God wants. It's to be singular. Who are you serving? But number two, serving can be careful here, serving can be a distraction. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 40 and following? Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, you don't understand. You don't even care that my sister's just sitting here doing nothing. What did Jesus say? She has chosen that better part. Now please listen. What Jesus is saying is, if you're doing a ton and not fellowshipping with me, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Now, if you study the Word of God, you're going to find that Jesus wants you serving. That's pretty evident from all through Scripture. So it's not a matter that he wants you to be a monk somewhere. But he does want you to spend time with him and then serve. Serving can replace growing. We've got to be careful to choose the best thing. Sometimes we're just too busy to stop and enjoy him. If all we do is serve without the growth, then we'll have nothing to give to others. By the way, it's one of the reasons that we do not want you missing every service at Emmanuel to serve. We don't want you teaching every class. We don't want you in the parking lot for every service. We don't want that. We want somebody to miss every service. And I've done this before, and we'll do it again if we have to. We'll shut a ministry down. You need the preaching of the Word of God. I need the preaching of the Word of God. I start teaching tomorrow at the college, which I love doing. It does add a load to my schedule every week. My wife said to me, what are some things you really enjoy about teaching at the college? Do you know one of those things is I get preached to 4 days a week. And I need that. I need the preaching of the Word of God. All of us need the preaching of the Word of God. Are you distracted doing instead of being? It's important for us. Number three, serving as our duty, which can be demanding. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 7 and following, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, I think not. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God's saying, do you think as a servant that you should get to come in from the field after working a long day and sit down and enjoy the meal? Or do you think the master of the house is going to have you serve him first and then you can eat? Sounds to me like if we apply that principle, we'd do a whole lot less complaining, wouldn't we? And God says, and by the way, when you're done with all that, don't think you did something special. You just did that which was your duty to do. And be thankful that you get to serve. Are you willing to go above what would seem necessary? Are you willing to get no credit for it? Ronald Reagan says, it's amazing what can be accomplished if no one cares who gets the credit. Serving is our duty, but that can be demanding at times. There can be times when it seems like it's an unthankful job. Number four, serving should demonstrate leadership. Luke 22:26, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. John 13 and verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Are you a feet-washing kind of leader? That's kind of gross. The fact is, sometimes leadership has to do some pretty gross things. We have to ask ourselves, do I think I'm too good to do that? Years ago, I think I've told this story before, but forgive me, but it's a great illustration nevertheless. Years ago, probably 22 plus years ago, I'm guessing, maybe even 23 years ago, Pastor Blue and I were walking, and I walked over a piece of trash in the church parking lot. And he looked at me and said, don't ever step over a piece of trash in this parking lot. And I thought, who does he think he is? That was my first thought, just for a second. And then I bent down and picked up the trash. And wouldn't you know it, that voice keeps ringing in my head. And I could pull in the church parking lot, and there could be a piece of trash across the parking lot. And it's Bruce saying, don't ever step. I'm like, I'm not stepping over it. It's across the parking lot. I was like, go pick it up. And I'm like, I don't ever leave a piece of trash in the parking lot. The bottom line is, do I think I'm too good to pick up a piece of trash in the parking lot? But that's really the deal, isn't it? That really is the deal. Letter E. Serving should be about devotion. Devotion. John 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. Serving is about following the direction of the leader. When I don't even understand. I spent some time, as many of you know, in the Marine Corps. And we had a captain that was a pretty hardcore guy. But we had a great deal of respect for him. Because anytime we did anything, he did the hardest part of the job. It didn't matter. If we took a little hike, that he liked to call them, 17, 20, 25 miles. Boys, let's go on a little hike. He would always have somebody come up and check his pack. Is my pack as heavy as your pack? Yes, sir. Okay, strap it on. Then he would ask for a mortar base plate, which is the heaviest thing an infantryman carries. Strap it on, look at us. Let's go for a walk, boys. And the truth is, we would all just about half die keeping up with him because we knew who he was. We knew exactly what kind of leader he was. It was interesting. They chose him as the guerrilla unit to do training in Korea. There was a battalion of United States Marines and a battalion of ROC Marines, and we were a guerrilla unit. We were just a handful of guys, but they chose him because they knew what kind of man he was. And for days, we outmaneuvered two battalion of Marines. I mean, continuously outmaneuvered them. It didn't make a whole lot of upper brass real happy, but it made us really happy. And there were days, I mean, literally, there were days where we got no sleep. We went 16 days without a hot shower and a hot meal, without a shower at all, hot or nothing, forget it, unless you count falling in a rice paddy. But it didn't matter because we knew who he was. We knew what he was going to do for us. We were willing to follow him because whatever was happening, he was doing it with us. Serving is about devotion, following the leader wherever he may go. Wherever he tells us to go. How good of a follower are you? Do you stay close to the Lord? Lastly, serving should be about loving others. Should be about serving, loving others. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says this, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Please get this. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, the Word of God is telling us that the liberty that we have in Christ is not a liberty to do whatever I want. It's a liberty to serve my fellow brethren. The liberty is not me first. I'm going to get what I want. The liberty is, how can I serve you? I'm just thankful for the privilege of being free to be able to serve you. That's certainly not the idea of liberty today in America, is it? It's a liberty for me to get whatever I want out of it. And by the way, if we're not careful, that seeps into the church too. Serving others. How do you use your abilities, your talents, your gifts for God? Is it about you? Or is it about others? Does your service communicate love to other people? Are you willing to use your talent even when it's maybe lower on the totem pole than you think it should be, if that's where you're needed? Is that what you're willing to do? You know, I'm going to pick out somebody here, and I hope he doesn't mind. But you know, one of the things that I love about Brother Don Clark is that he's willing to serve. Do you know there were members here for years? For years before I knew that he had an earned doctorate. Do you know why? Because that wasn't really important. Now, please understand, if you got an earned doctorate, I don't mind you telling people, that's fine, whatever. I like to actually know that my doctor has an earned doctorate. Pretty helpful. I want to know you know what you're talking about, pal. Do you know what Brother Don just served in the children's ministry? And asked these kids what kind of Bible stories he told on Wednesday night and how alive and rich it was. Yeah, I don't have any problem knowing that he's going to serve God faithfully in the mission field, because he did so here with no accolades for years. Therefore, I don't have a problem recommending him. I had a pastor the other day that wanted a missionary. They're like, "You got one available?" I'm like, "I sure do." Unquestioned, here he is. That's what we're supposed to be. If we will just serve people, everybody will love it. Like, whoa, if I serve everybody, somebody just treat me like a dirt mat. Do you deserve any better? I mean, when we really get to who we are in Christ, right, we're just sinners saved by grace. Do I really deserve any better? If that's indeed what people will do, which, by the way, that's just a cop-out. Because most of the time, I'm not saying people have never been treated that way. You certainly have. But most of us, by and large, are treated far better than we deserve to be treated anyway. Come, grow, serve. Come, grow, serve. I want us to think everything we do this year through those lens. Us coming, trying to convince others to coming. Us growing, trying to help others to grow. Us serving, helping other people learn to serve. Come, grow, serve. Could you say those three words with me? If you don't know what they are, you can look right back here. It's pretty easy. We're back to kindergarten a little bit, all right? So let's say those three words together. Ready? Come, grow, serve. I think that's what God wants us to do. I think we can boil down so much in the Word of God to those three truths. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. There's tons more about growing, about serving, even about coming in the Word of God. But this just wets our whistle a little bit to know there's lots of good things for us here. May we be a church that comes. May we be a church that grows. May we be a church that serves others. Help that to be, as some would say, ingrained in who we are. We need that. I pray that you would work. In your name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you quietly, as you stand to your feet, would you take some time this morning to ask God to seal these things in your heart and life? Maybe some of you would just sit right there where you are with your husband or wife or family or whatever. Some of you would love to come to the altar here and just gather around and say, God, would you help me this year to be faithful in coming, to be faithful to grow in the Word of God, to be a faithful servant of you. What a difference that would make in our ministry if that would happen. They're going to begin to play. Would you either just spend some time praying there, or would you come and pray? Love for that to take place. Would you do that? Come, grow, serve.
Look this way, if you would, for just a moment. I want to remind you, if you haven't had your picture taken, please see Naomi. She can meet you next door or tell you where to go there. And then there's some Bible reading calendars down here on the front chair. If you've not gotten one of those for the year,